Preparing a homily is really a lot of fun, but it takes some work. I want you to think about writing popular music and how difficult that might be. How do you make your song distinctive from someone else's song? If you listen to a lot of popular music, it's almost all about romantic interests. And one song from many years ago, I think it might have been Dr. Hook, I'm not sure, came up with a song, and he called it "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." And his hook, if you will, for the song was he stuttered the first two consonants of the song. So instead of saying baby or singing baby, you ain't seen nothing yet, he said or sang baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. And you guys may remember this song if you're of a certain age. And it's an effective little catch, right? You remember the song, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. I want you to keep that phrase in your mind as we work through just the first two sentences of today's gospel lesson. There's really a lot here in a short amount of space. But the Lord said, this is Jesus Christ, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." First sentence. Second sentence, "For whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So basically he's saying, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. If you want to keep this life, you're going to lose it, but if you give up this life, you'll get it. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, let's talk about that. Let's think about that. This life is good. God created it, and it is good. But our choice in this life is really, are we going to give up this life for the promise of the next life, for the life in the kingdom of God? That's really what he's saying here. Will we sacrifice this life for the next life, or will we sacrifice the next life for this life? For you see, if we don't believe in the next life, if we don't believe in the kingdom of God, if we don't try to attain it, then basically we are saying, forget you to the kingdom of God. I'm going to concentrate here and now on this life. And we do that in many ways, usually through some desire or pleasure, something that makes us feel good. Because, hey, this is all there is, right? This is all there is. So I'm going to put all my effort into this life, into my career, into my looks, into my money, into my spouse, into my whatever, with no regard to the life that is to come. That is your free choice. God gives each one of us that choice. He doesn't violate our free will to make us join Him in the kingdom of God. He does not violate our free will. He gives us the choice. So if we want to choose this good life, that's very understandable, really. There are a lot of good things in this life, corrupted though it is by sin and death. There are many, many good things. But if we are patient, if we are humble, if we are willing, we can work, we can with faith accept the kingdom to come. And ironically, by doing that, by focusing on the kingdom to come, we not only receive the life of the kingdom in the future, but we also find fullness and meaning, purpose and direction now. For some of us of a certain age or older, you've reached that point where you ask yourself, what is it all about? Why am I here? I've got this, I've got that, I don't have this other thing, but it doesn't really matter. Why am I here? What is the point? If the point is all about ourselves, then that's pretty empty. That's very empty. And many people reach that decision, and you see them every day in the paper or in the news going off in some terrible direction because they're angry and they're unfulfilled and they don't know why. Now, there are many causes for that, but part of it is not. Part of it is because they don't have the kingdom of God. They don't have the love of God, of Christ, in their hearts. Now, if you say, Father, well, I like that deal, if you will, that covenant, to use an Old Testament word. I want to give up this life for the next life. How do I do it? Well, the first sentence tells us. The formula is easy. It's called PDF. And you may think that's a file that you email to someone, but it's not. It doesn't stand for a portable document format, really. It stands for pick up your cross deny yourself and follow Christ. It's very easy. PDF. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, what does picking up your cross mean? It means accepting the everyday trials and tribulations of this world. We all have them. The frustrations, the irritations, the things that break down, the budgets we can't meet. All these things happen. But we have to accept them, right? And pray for the grace of God to muddle through it somehow. Everybody is dealing with it. So many people get into trouble when they can't accept these trials. They want to avoid it. And we all do to some degree, right? We watch a little TV or we exercise, whatever gives us some escape, and that's fine in moderation. But some people don't want to grow up, do they? We probably have met them at work. We've seen them in our families. They do not want to grow up and accept responsibility for the burdens of life, the everyday burdens, the phone calls, the mortgages, whatever. And they just don't go there. Well, Christ can help us go there. That is part of carrying the burden. It's accepting that. If you're married, I've got a newsflash for you. Guess what? Your spouse isn't perfect. Guess what? You're not either, right? And I'm not. I'm not saying I'm perfect. President Ted will be the first one who could tell you that. We realize these things, and what do? You have to accept that cross, and you go forward in love. Now, there's more to it than just the everyday burdens. This cross, to Stavru, we just celebrated the feast day of the Holy Cross. I think it was Monday. Boy, the days run together sometimes, don't they? It was Monday. There's more to it than just the everyday burdens. It's the cross of love. We must seek the higher cross of love that Christ shows for us. What is that cross? Well, that's where we move into the D part, the deny yourself. You know, when we're children, everything's great, right? You know why it's great, usually? Because everything is focused on us, right? Mom and dad are there to cater to your every need. Everything is centered on making you strong and healthy and moving forward. And that's fine, that's good. But as we get older, we transition into adulthood and we realize now it's our turn to facilitate the growth of our children, and maybe, if you're sandwiched, to help facilitate a certain season of life for our older parents, right? We are there to help someone else instead of ourselves. In other words, we are not looking out for ourselves as much as we're looking out for someone else. That's not always a lot of fun, I'll tell you. It's really not. It's hard to deny yourself when you'd rather be shopping. You'd rather be watching a football game. You'd rather be doing something, let's say exercise, than helping someone with their homework or mow their grass or whatever they may need. But that's what deny yourself means. I mean, go and look up the word deny. That's what it means. Pick up your cross, the burden to love someone else, starting with family, moving out into the greater realm of all our neighbors. Love the other person by denying yourself, giving them of your time, attention, whatever. Now, it's a balance. We all do need time for ourselves, of course. But as we get older, as we mature in our Christian faith, and that's a very orthodox concept, that we are ever maturing in our faith. It's a dynamic, ongoing process of growing closer and closer to God in love. It's not the, I believe in Christ once and done, and I'm finished, right? I'm saved, that's it, don't have to do anything more. Mm-mm. Sorry, if you're an Orthodox Christian, it's an ongoing forward progress. You know, in Great Lent, we talk about the ladder of divine ascent, St. John Climacus. Well, each step, we're moving upward and onward closer to God. That's what Orthodox Christianity is about. It's not static. So we deny ourselves, growing closer to God by giving more and more of ourselves and our lives to other people. In ministry, right? Through all the various ministries of the church. So if we pick up that cross, if we deny ourselves, then what's the next step? To follow Christ. Well, where did he go? Well, ultimately, you know, he started in heaven and he came to earth. We're already here. But if you read the gospel text, he went to temple, right? He went to worship. If you're not coming to church regularly, that might be number one on your box to try to do. Christ came to church. He worshiped. He trusted God. He persevered. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was captured? He went to pray to God. He was praying so hard that he sweat blood. That's an actual thing. I mean, that can happen. You can be so nervous and so anxious, if you will, that that happens. It's a medical condition. In his humanity, he feared the cross. He did not want to go there. In his divinity, he knew he had to. And he was obedient to God, and he did it. He did it. He persevered. That's for us to do too. To go to church, to persevere, to teach, and to help through all the various ministries that we can. If we follow Christ, if we do these things, if we suffer many, many deaths, right? Each time you indulge an interruption or an inconvenience for the sake of someone else, that's a small death that you have just died. You are dying to self and living for the other. You are giving to the other. Now, I'm not going to say you're always going to like it, but the fathers of the church teach us that practicing these small deaths for someone else is participating in the death of Christ for us. The ultimate expression is that we see it in the saints of the church, where someone will come to steal from them or to hurt them, and they almost passively let them do whatever it is they want to do. They never deny Christ, but they let them do what they do. That is a real giving, and not all of us are there. It takes time to get to that point. But if we live for Christ, if we die for Christ through these small deaths, we will follow Him. We will follow Him in grace and in love. We will follow Him ultimately into the kingdom of God. That's what we want, right? We will follow Him into the kingdom of God. And if we do that, even though this life is great, this life really is great, God made it and it is great, when we get into the kingdom of God, we'll look back and compare this life to that one. And if we could come back and speak to our friends and family who have not yet come into the kingdom of God, you know what we would tell them to try to encourage them to hang on, to pick up their cross, deny themselves, and follow Christ? You know what we would tell them to encourage them into the kingdom of God? But baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.